Psalm 119, beginning at verse 65. This is the word of the living God. Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts with all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. That's as far as we'll read this morning from this part of God's holy word. Well, friends, sometimes in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God has revealed his word in different ways. And sometimes we read even riddles in the Old Testament. You remember Samson? Gave a riddle once to the people in his day. Well, this morning I have a riddle for you. And boys and girls, listen, it's a riddle for you to think about as well. You all have one, but it is almost always used by other people and not by you. You all have one, but it's almost always used by other people and not by you. What is it? I see a few lights coming on. It's your
name.
Your name. That's right. You all have one. But mostly other people use it, and you don't. Your name. I love thinking about names. It's very interesting to think about names. You know, sometimes the names that people have fit perfectly with the person. There's a professor of sociology in 1987 at the College of St. Benedict at St. John's University in Minnesota, a professor of sociology who was a specialist in family violence. His name was Dr. James Makepeace. What a great name. The winners of the 2001 Calder Cup finals of the American Hockey League were the St. John's Flames, and they were coached by a man named Jim Playfair. No wonder they won. Jim Playfair. In Newcastle, Australia, I'm told, there is a champion boxer whose name is Darren Hitwell. And of course, we can think through history. There's the famous British poet William Wordsworth, and the well-known Canadian Presbyterian missionary, Jonathan Goforth. Names that fit the people so well. And you know, we see it too in the Bible, that names often preach themselves. In the Old Testament, we read of a boy who was named Ichabod. The glory has departed. When Israel turned away from the Lord, God named a boy Ichabod. The glory has departed. But then I think gloriously in the New Testament of that baby who was born, full of grace and truth, and whose name given by God was Jesus, which means Savior, because he it is who saves his people from their sins. Well, friends, this morning we baptized little baby Tobias. And that too is a name that preaches itself. Tobias. It is really a form of the biblical names Tobiah or Tobijah. It's really all the same name. And it is a name that means, if you were to ask John or Sylvia, Tobias means God is good. God is good. Tobias. Sometimes we hear that word tob or tov, as it's said in Hebrew, in Jewish circles. Mazal tov. Mazal tov. Good luck. Well wishes. Good luck. Tov. Good. Tobias. God is good. Good is God. Tobias. Tobiah. It carries the name of God. Good is God. And it's a name that preaches to each one of us. Hagar named her son Ishmael, which means God hears, because God had heard her prayer. And you know that every time she called out his name, Ishmael, she was calling out, God hears, God hears. And every time she called out his name, it was to be a reminder to her that God had heard her prayer. It was a name that every time she spoke it, it preached to her soul. Well, in the same way, every time that Mr. or Mrs. Ushker, every time that Grandma or Grandpa Muirhead, every time that Rosemary or Grandpa Ushker called, Tobias, Tobias, what are they saying? God is good. God is good. What a great declaration. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is good? How does it affect your life if you do believe it? If it doesn't affect your life, I'm tempted to think you may not really believe it. Or you maybe have never really embraced the fact that God is good. If your life isn't changed, God is good. It is such a simple, basic truth. Am I insulting you and your intelligence this morning by coming with a message, simply those three words, God is good? God didn't think it was a message below his people, because he repeats it over and over and over again in Scripture. It's so important that we understand what is involved in that confession of faith. God is good. It's repeated over and over in Scripture, and it's repeated in a verse tucked away here in Psalm 119 as well that we read this morning. Psalm 119, as you may recall, is an acrostic poem. Each line in every 8-verse section begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And verse 68 is in the section corresponding with roughly our letter T. Tov. God is good. And so we see in verse 68, you are good. And what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. You see that verse, very simply, is divided into three parts. The first two parts describe God. And the third describes or speaks of what should be the proper response to who God is. And so look first at the first thing that we see there. It's a declaration, a statement about the nature of God. And the psalmist says about God, you are what? Good. You are good. That's the very nature of God. Everything about who God is good. Now that might not seem to you so great when I say that to our English-speaking ears. After all, you might say, well, there's good, but isn't there better and even best? Is God just good? But when the Bible friends say that God is good, it means that he is perfect. There is nothing about him that could be better. Nothing that needs to be improved. I saw Mr. Herger working on his barn this past Friday. It was a good barn, but he was making it better. Well, that's not like God. With God, nothing can be better about him. He is good. In the Middle Ages, a man named Anselm spoke about God in that way. He said, God is that greater than which cannot be thought. God is that person, that being greater than which cannot be thought. You can't have better thoughts about anyone or anything than what God is. He is perfect and perfectly good. When we say God is good, it also has the sense of being the opposite. Good is the opposite of what? Bad. These are simple words, but this is the foundation of all things. It's the opposite of bad. God is good. There is no bad in him. None at all. Now, you know, kids, that bad is one of the first simple words that a child often learns. When Tobias begins to grow and he pulls his sister's hair, he might. Or when he throws his food at his mom because he's angry, he'll learn that word, bad. Who taught him to do those bad things? I don't see Mr. Ushker pulling Mrs. Ushker's hair. I don't see Mrs. Ushker throwing her oatmeal at Mr. Ushker. Do I? Who taught him those things? No one did. No one needed to teach him those things. It comes out of his own heart. Because his heart is bad. He's cute. He's cute. But the Bible says, just like every one of us, his heart is born bad. That's why you don't have to teach a child to be selfish or teach a child to be mean or cruel. You don't have to teach those things because it's not what goes into a man that makes him bad, but what comes out of him. And it's out of the overflow of the heart that our lives come. But God is good. No bad in him at all. God, as they would say in Latin, is the summum bonum. The best good. The greatest good. The pinnacle of good. The Catechism says, what is God? God is a spirit. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. You can't get better than that. He's good. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Because you see, that goodness that is part of who God is means that he not only is good, but that he also does good. And so secondly, we see here not only the nature of God, but the work of God. You are good, and you do what is good. You are good, God, and you do good. Everything that God is good. And now we read, everything that God does is good. Everything that God does is good. There is nothing that God does that is bad, or unwise, or unjust. And in the Bible, we see how God has shown his goodness in many ways. God showed his goodness. He did good in creation. He made this wonderful world with the snowy mountain peaks and the beautiful blue sky and the sparkling seas and the sun and the moon and the stars. And he made all the wonderful plants and trees and flowers. And he made all the interesting animals. And when he created it all, he looked at it and said, it is good. And we see it in our own creation as human beings. God made human beings in a wonderful way. You know, sometimes I just catch myself sitting at my desk, moving my fingers, and thinking, how can I do that? How do I do that? It's amazing. When something is wrong with my computer, I have to spend hours and hours and hours telling it what to do, and it doesn't listen. And my fingers, I don't even have to think about it. And they do exactly what I want. Complicated things so that you can play violins and pianos and you can figure skate and throw a football. It's amazing. God is good. He made us with wonderful, amazing minds that can think. And they can think God's own thoughts after him. Amazing. He made us with bodies that can do and enjoy so many good things. But you know, even more, when he created man and woman, he created us in his own image. What does that mean? It means that the good God made us as much like himself as a creature could be. Amazing. When God created man, he made man as much like himself as it was possible for a creature to be in his image. And that was good. In fact, when God created man on the sixth day and put him in that good garden with everything that man needed and beautiful things for man to enjoy, God looked at it all on the sixth day and said, "Behold, it is very good." Very good. But you know, into that good place, the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve to think differently about God. And the temptation that the devil brought to Adam and Eve was really just about what we are thinking about today. It's exactly the same thing. We see that God is good and that he does good. But the devil wants man to think God does not do good. And so God is not good. You know what he said to Adam? Adam, if God were good, he would have given this to you, the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. But he kept it from you. God is not good. He has done something bad. And you know what? Adam believed it. Adam believed the devil. And that was bad. And Adam and all his descendants became bad because they thought God was bad and God did bad. But there's Adam doing bad, thinking bad, looking up to God and saying, God, you're bad. And you've done bad things to me, God. How does God respond to Adam? How does God respond to sinful people like that who think that God is bad? You know what God does? He does something good. He does something so good that he gave us this whole book to tell us about it. God showed his goodness again when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. When the goodness and love of God appeared in Jesus Christ. You know, when we read the name Tobijah, or Tobiah, it's not just God is good, but Yahweh is good. The God of the covenant. The God of grace in Jesus Christ. That's where we see most of all the goodness of God. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son came, Jesus, and lived a good and perfect life. And he died in the place of sinners so that bad sinners could be forgiven. That was so good of God. God was good to his enemies, people that said that he was bad. The greatest way that God shows his goodness is when we see Jesus and what he's done for us. And you know, thirdly, we see that God does good every day. in his good providence. Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Acts 14, nevertheless, God did not leave himself without a witness in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful harvest seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God is good. We see it every day. He gives us so many good things. James says every good gift is from God above. Think of how many good things you enjoy from God, the good gifts he gives. A brown cow eats green grass and gives us white milk to drink. That's good. And some of you know more than I do how good that is. That's good. You take that for granted? It's a miracle in and of itself. I don't know how that works. God made it that way. We can enjoy it, and some of you make your livelihood from it. God is good. Every drop of milk that goes out from your farm is a token of the goodness of God. Every soybean, every last one that comes out of your combine shouts, God is good. Every child that we hold in our arms, more than we know, is a token of the fact that God is good. You get up every day. You have food to eat, clothes to wear. You have a family and friends to be with. God gives us children to love. He's so good. Now, I know some of you are saying, Matt, you are so naive. Open your eyes, would you, for a minute and look at this world that we live in. It's easy for you to stand up in that pulpit in your nice clean suit and spout off how good God is. You don't know my life. And you don't know this world, obviously, that we live in. What a foolishly simplistic, naive sermon. God is good. You know, that's how people look at the world and think. They look at the world and say, God must be bad. Look at the world. There's a recent book by a Jewish author, Benjamin Blech, and the title is, If God is Good, Why is the World So Bad? That's a legitimate question. If God is so good, why is the world so bad? That's an important question. In fact, it's one of the oldest and perhaps one of the strongest arguments against Christianity and the Bible. If God is sovereign and God is good, why is there evil? Every age has dealt with that question. How do we answer it? Well, first, think about this. If God didn't exist and God wasn't good, no one would ever ask the question, why is the world so bad? The only way that we can ask the question or think about the world being bad is because God is good. That's the only framework and reference point in order to see anything bad. Otherwise, everything just is the way it is, and we should all just shut up and deal with it. Why are you complaining? It's just the way it is. The very fact that people say something's bad means that on some level they know there is a good, an ultimate good, to which we all can appeal. And that good is God and the good that he has put into our hearts, created in his image. But second, you know, if we could see the things the way that God does, we would see that even the bad things he is using somehow in his sovereignty in order to turn out good. When a doctor operates on someone, do you know what he does? It's nasty. He knocks them unconscious. He cuts them open with a knife. He makes them bleed and often causes great pain. Are those good things? Would any one of us say that that's good? But in the end, life is better. And good came out of the bad. And if we could see things the way that God sees it, we'd see that he is ruling over all these things. And in the end, we'll see that it was all for good reasons and good purposes. You know, I know people experience bad things. But you know, not one of us is alive who doesn't also experience many good things. Many good things. The question often shouldn't be the problem of evil. Why are there evil things? But why don't people ask, why are there good things? Why should there be good things in your life? Who says? Where's that written? You know, there's a problem of good that is just as profound as the problem of evil. And yet people experience so many good things every day in their lives. And especially Christians, people of God, you experience so much good every day. Those who trust in Jesus know a special goodness from God. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Psalm 86, Lord, you are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Psalm 84, the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Those are great and good promises from God. That is why when the psalmist says about God, you are good and you do good, he ends by asking for something good. And what is it specifically? You are good. You do what is good. What is the good thing that he wants from God especially? Teach me your decrees. Teach me your ways. Teach me your word. That word teach can mean a train, direct. Train me. Teach me the way you want me to think, the way you want me to live. If God is good, you see the logic, if God is good and does good, we should want to know him and learn what is good from him. If we don't, then really we're saying God is not good enough for me to waste my time. And I know better. So don't bother teaching me anything, God. I don't need your Bible because I know what is good better than you. But if we really believe God is good and God does what is good, our first impulse should be, God, teach me then what is good and how I may experience the best good. So many people take good things from God every day and turn their backs on him in every other way. They have no time for God. They have no place for his word in their lives. They care nothing for the worship of God or the people of God or the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. And yet they take, take, take. Imagine. I'll take all those good things from you, God, but as for you, forget it. I'll just take all those things and do what I want to do. Do you imagine a child like that in your home? What you would think of a child like that, who only said, give, 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 and I'll take all the good things, but as for the rest, forget you. And yet so many people in this world live that way before God. The psalmist says, teach me. Teach me. Well, what does the Bible teach us in terms of God's goodness? First, God's word says, repent. Repent. Turn your life. Turn around. Turn around in your thinking. Turn around in your living. Romans 2:4, or do you despise the riches of God's goodness, his patience, his long suffering? Don't you know that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance? That's the first lesson. God is so good, you should turn away from ignoring him and turn to him. Romans 1:21 says of people, although they knew God, they knew about God, they did not worship him as God, nor were they thankful. You need to turn to God again. What is your heart like? Do you thank God for all the good things that he's given you? Or do you think that you deserve it all and he doesn't need any thanks? When you get good things from God, do you still grumble? Do you complain? Are you jealous of what other people have? You can't even enjoy the good things that you have deep down. You know you don't. You're miserable even though you have good things. Turn away from that life. It's not good. God has good for you. Turn to him. God says, secondly, come. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. If God is good and he does good, why don't you come to him? If you don't, you must not really believe God is good. You must think that you're not so bad, that you don't need him. I'm not one for these church signs that sometimes you see in front of churches. Most often the theology would be better, much better left unsaid than written up for people to read. But I came across one recently that I thought was good. And it said this: good minus God equals what? No, the letters G-O-O-D minus G-O-D equals what's left when you take G-O-D out of G-O-O-D? Nothing. God, good minus God equals nothing. That's very profound. People think that they're good and that they'll be okay when the judgment comes. Lord, Lord, they'll say in the last day. And they're counting on their own goodness. But they don't live for God. They don't trust Jesus. Good minus God equals nothing. Nothing. Psalm 14 verse 1, there is no one who does good. But God opens his arms to those kinds of people and says, come to me. Come to me and I will fill you with good things. I will fill your heart and your mind with good things. I'll forgive you and I'll give you a new heart and a new mind. I'll give you my spirit. I'll adopt you as my children. I'll bring you to heaven. Just trust me. Trust in Christ and be filled with good things. That's why it says in Psalm 34:8, thirdly, that we are called to then experience God's goodness. Taste and see the Lord is good. Not just some kind of mental facts, you know, okay, I see the truth of that. No, you're to experience it and have it in you the way that you take food and it goes in you. It's in you and through you. It's your life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That's what it means to taste, to trust. Here's something else. God is good and he teaches us his ways. If that's true of you, if you say, God, you're good and you do good and please teach me your ways, then be confident. Be confident. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble and he knows those who trust in him. You know, even as Christians, the devil still comes and tries to get us to think God isn't good and he doesn't do good. When things don't go our way, when we think we know better, when hard situations come, troublesome times, difficult circumstances, the temptation is to say, God, you didn't do good. Are you really good? We can be honest enough to admit that that's what we think sometimes, can't we? Otherwise, we wouldn't even question it. God, you didn't do good. This is bad. And I know what would be good, and it wouldn't be this. But you know, God is training us in his ways. And that's often through trouble. Look at the context of verse 68. It's all about trouble. That's interesting. The goodness of God and the plea that God would teach us his ways is surrounded by verses about trouble. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, verse 67, but now I keep your word. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. See, that's amazing. Trouble is the testing ground of our faith. Do you really believe that God is good and that he does good in times of trouble? Thomas Manton said to believers, God may change our circumstances, but he never changes his affection toward us. He may change our circumstances, but he never changes his affection toward us. You know, friends, trouble in your life is not just the occasion in which you then pray for God's goodness. Trouble is the very means of experiencing God's goodness. Amazing. And if these things are true, beloved, the last point should be imitation as we learn God's ways. When a man or woman trusts in Jesus, God makes us good in his sight. We're forgiven, accepted, adopted as his children, and then he helps us to do good. Why do we ask God to teach us his ways? So that we can be good and do good. You are good and you do good. Teach me your ways so that I can be good in Christ and do good for Christ. Galatians 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. What a good verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. That's what your life is to be about. In Christ, you're good. And you're to seek to do good to those around you. And why do you want to do good? So that you can get a nice tax refund on your tax return because you gave so much charitable donations. So that other people can look at you and say, what a good guy. No, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our desire. Beloved, God is good, and he does good. May he teach us his ways.